First reading, Isaiah 40, 21, 31. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It's he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers to the earth as emptiness? Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows on them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing.
Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disgraced, is discarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this on my own will, I have a reward. But if not on my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win more outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all these things to all people, that by all means I might have save some. I do it for all the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Mark. And immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick were oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place where he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There's a little detail in our gospel reading for this morning that I never really noticed before until a couple weeks ago, and I was leading the Sunday morning Bible class, and all of a sudden it just kind of jumped out at me. And it's in verse 35 of our gospel reading today, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. See if you get the same impression that I do from this verse. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. It seems to me that Jesus had to sneak out of the house. Is that the impression that you get as well? I get that idea because of Jesus wanting to leave the house and not be detected by anyone else who was there. And I started thinking about that, and I think it led me to understanding something a little bit better about the identity of Jesus, who he was, and why he had come, the purpose for his life. Where did Jesus go when he left the house early that morning? He went to a desolate place. Why did he go? The text says that he went to pray. And I wonder for what greater purpose Jesus went to this desolate place to pray, other than probably to be strengthened in his relationship with his Heavenly Father, so that he might continue to carry on in the purpose for which he had come. I want us to think a little bit about what had just transpired in the life of our Lord Jesus. In the Gospel of Mark, after his baptism by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, he goes immediately into the wilderness, into the desert, and there he engages in confrontation with Satan. After 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, he comes back to Galilee. He announces that he is here to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. He begins to gather disciples about himself, Peter and Andrew and James and John. He goes to Capernaum, a place which was kind of like home base for him, and he preaches in the synagogue and he drives out a demon, an evil spirit. And after that experience, he goes to the home of Simon Peter and Andrew. And Peter's mother-in-law is ill. He brings healing to her. And lo and behold, all the people from the town bring the sick and the wounded, the demon-possessed, for Jesus to heal. I think this was the first experience in the life of Jesus of Nazareth, of what it was going to mean for him to be the Savior of humanity. And thinking about Jesus as a human being Jesus as a man. I think this had to be a little bit overwhelming. You know, it may be a little difficult for us to think about Jesus as being human, like you and me. But he was made out of flesh and blood, just as we are. He had feelings, just like we do. And the book of Hebrews tells us that he was like us in every way, yet was without sin. But I think Jesus, after that initial onslaught of what it meant to be the Redeemer of humanity, called for a timeout. Jesus, the man. Jesus, the human being. Needed to get away from everything and have some alone time with his Heavenly Father. Well, I think all of us can relate to that. All of us know what it is like to be worn out by life. Sometimes we carry some very large burdens with us. Sometimes we can become worn out by the demands placed upon us. We may lose a friend or a loved one, and that takes a toll on our lives because that person is no longer here. Sometimes our job can become overwhelming, and that wears us out as well. We may have unmet expectations, health concerns. I think what's important to remember about Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the human being, Jesus the man, is that when he was carrying on his ministry, and already here at the beginning stages, he was engaged in spiritual warfare. And I think that every step of the way, Satan was at his side, in his ear, whispering to him, Jesus, are you sure? Are you sure about this? Are you really sure that you want to follow through with being the Savior of humanity? You know, your Heavenly Father could just announce a verdict one day from heaven, declaring everyone's sins to be forgiven. And nothing more would be demanded of you, Jesus. But if you insist on going this way, I can tell you that you're going to experience opposition. Your disciples are not going to understand what you are all about. And Jesus, you are going to experience a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. I think that was the way in which Jesus experienced spiritual warfare. And all those things in our lives that can wear us down, those can become things also for us as being things of spiritual warfare, because Satan can use all of those things that happen in our lives that wear us out to make us question our relationship with God. We may wonder, does being a Christian really make a difference? I look at the lives of other people, and they seem to be doing just as well, if not better than me. So really, what difference does it make? Well, when Jesus left that house early that morning, still under the cover of darkness, and he went to a desolate place, and it wouldn't have been hard for Jesus to find a desolate place in and around the town of Capernaum. Think Eastern Oregon, the high desert. And before Judy and I moved to Vancouver, we lived in Sublimity, Oregon, which is just across Highway 22 from Staten. And we had a daughter and granddaughter that lived in Boise, Idaho. And so whenever we would go to visit them, we would drive right across the middle of the state of Oregon. And once you leave Bend and head towards Burns, there's not much there. And you can drive for a long ways before you see another vehicle. You see lots of antelope, but not very many people. And I think it was in a place that was like that that Jesus went to be alone with his heavenly Father. In fact, Luke chapter 5, verse 16 tells us that there were many times in his ministry where Jesus went off by himself to pray. I think it's important for us to build into our days some alone time with God. That's hard to do. When Judy and I first moved to Vancouver, we stayed with our oldest daughter and her family, and we rented a room, so to speak, from one of our granddaughters. I couldn't believe how busy they were. It was something happening all the time. They were always on the go. I guess that's the way it was for Judy and me when we had our kids at home too. I had just forgotten what it's like. But for parents who still have kids at home, where do you find the time to be alone? It's easier now in retirement to find those times alone, but even at that, I find even for myself, I have to work at building those times into my life. You know, the traffic light down there at the intersection of Highway 224 and 212, do you know how long it stays red once you pull up to it and it just turned red? It stays red for a pretty long time. And that's a little window for time alone with God. It's long enough to say the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. When Jesus found himself alone with his heavenly Father, I have an idea of what he prayed. If you look at John chapter 17, that gives us an example of a prayer that Jesus prayed. He prayed that he might be able to live a life that brought glory to his heavenly Father. He prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for all believers. And so on that day, when Jesus had snuck out of the house and he went to that desolate place that he could be alone with his heavenly Father, and he prayed, I think he prayed the same kind of prayer. He prayed for the people that he had just healed the day before. He prayed for the people that he was going to meet that day and the next day and the day after that. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed that God might use him to continue doing the ministry that God had put him on earth to do. And Jesus, looking into the future, prayed also for you and for me. I think Jesus also prayed through the Psalms. And he may have prayed that verse from Isaiah chapter 40 this morning about how we can grow weak, but God lifts us up as on wings of an eagle. And in this way, he strengthens his relationship with his heavenly Father. We need to strengthen our relationship with our heavenly Father. That's one reason why we've gathered together on Sunday mornings in worship. We gather here so that God might strengthen us in our life with Him. Through our singing, through our praying, through our hearing the Word, through coming to the Lord's table to receive Christ's body and blood, God strengthens us. Sometimes God might speak to you through a particular song that's being sung. That happened to me 2 weeks ago when I was distributing communion. I got so caught up in what the song was being sung, and I don't remember anymore what it was, but I lost track of what I was doing. I got mixed up. That song just spoke so much to me. There might be a particular Bible passage. There might be a particular thing that happens on a Sunday morning in which God touches your heart and strengthens your relationship with Him. But between these Sundays, we need time with God, our Heavenly Father, so that He might continue to strengthen us in our walk with Him. If we have burdens that we are bearing, we need to place them at Jesus' feet and let Him take them from us. Sometimes those burdens, it's almost like they have Velcro and they stick to us. We have to peel them off again. Here, take this. I don't want it. And we have to keep doing that until we finally gain release. There might be something in life that is really causing us a lot of worry and anxiety. We have to turn it over and experience these little oases in life. It might be that a particular Bible verse helps us. If we say that Bible verse, like, for example, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Or Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Or maybe Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Certainly God wants to bring us into a stronger, closer relationship with Him, that He might continue to use us as His disciples. So He strengthened Jesus, His Son, to carry on His ministry. And it wasn't long. We don't know how long Jesus was there alone in that desolate place praying to His Heavenly Father, but it couldn't have been too long, because before He knew it, Simon Peter and others were there. They found Him. And actually, what it says in the original language, in the Greek, it says, they hunted Him down. Yeah? They hunted Him down. They wanted to find Him so badly that they were not going to give up. Why? Because they had all these people back at Capernaum say, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Jesus, we have to get You back there. This is a great thing You got going on. Let's strike while the iron is hot. But Jesus said, no, I'm not going back there. We've got to hit the road again. We've got to go to towns and places that we haven't been yet because I need to preach to them too, so that they might know the love of God. Well, there was a restlessness, a longing in the heart of Jesus that would not quit, of reaching out to people and bringing them into his redeemed family of love. This was a divine urge. It's like what it says in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, that Jesus set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. As a congregation, Christ the Vine has a purpose for which God put you here. And there's a wonderful brochure that's been put together, I think it's available out in the narthex, about all of the mission opportunities that Christ the Vine is involved in. It's just really wonderful. Sometimes I think we should put a sign above every church door. And as you're entering the church, you would see this sign that says, Servant's Entrance. And then we could put a sign above the door as you're leaving. As you're leaving church, the sign would say, You are now entering your mission field. It doesn't matter what our occupation is. It doesn't matter what our station in life is. It doesn't matter what our age is. God equips us and strengthens us to be his disciples so that we might carry on for the purpose that he put us here. I started out by talking about how it seems as though Jesus had to sneak out of the house that day to go to a desolate place and pray to his Heavenly Father. You know, there was another time when Jesus could have snuck away, but he didn't. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had taken his disciples up there, and then he took Peter, James, and John a little bit further, and he says, Wait here for me while I go over there and pray. He went over there and he prayed, and he came back and he found them sleeping. Three times he did that. That was on the Mount of Olives. And you know, just on the other side of the Mount of Olives, he could have gone into the Judean desert and nobody would have ever found him. But of course, that's incomprehensible because he was Jesus, the Son of God, who had come to save humanity from their sins. But that was still the temptation. Jesus, you can avoid going the way of the cross. But he didn't sneak away. He came back for us and for us all. God continued to give him the strength to do what he needed to do. And so also God gives us the strength to do what he has called us to do. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.